You're listening to On the Record Online with Eric Schwartzman, where reporters and journalists go on the record about how they use the internet to cover the news. For the latest trends, tips, and tactics on how the web shapes popular opinion, subscribe to our RSS news feed or visit us online at www.ipressroom.com.
Christopher Null, editor-in-chief of Mobile Magazine, goes on the record about the explosive growth of the wireless and entertainment industries and how to contact him with breaking news.
I live and die on email like most tech reporters. Dealing with the phone is just tricky because I'm not always at my desk, so email's always the way to get me.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Don't be left behind. Get the latest online PR tools and services from iPressroom. Powerful, easy to use, available on demand. Extend your sphere of influence online with iPressroom, tools for online media centers, virtual private press rooms, RSS news feeds, podcasts, and more at www.ipressroom.com. iPressroom, always on, even when you're off.
Chris Null is editor-in-chief of Mobile Magazine, formerly Mobile PC Magazine, the authority on all things mobile. It has a monthly circulation of 200,000 readers, and it is not a trade publication. It is read by mobile technology enthusiasts. I am pleased to have him with me on this podcast.
Glad to be here, Eric.
So now, you just mentioned to me that you've changed the name of the magazine from Mobile PC to Mobile.
That's
why,
right?
Is that?
Well, after about a year and a half, Mobile PC has always been a little bit of a tricky name for us. Enthusiasts who are interested in technologies beyond notebook computers, which is traditionally what PC has come to mean, wondered if that was a place to find that kind of topic in our magazine. So cell phones, MP3 players, iPod, digital cameras, this is all coverage that we've had in the magazine since day one, but we weren't communicating that with the name. Same goes for Apple. A lot of people didn't know if we covered Macintosh, and of course we do. They're critical in the mobile space. So mobile has always been a kind of an aspirational name for us, and finally, after about a year and a half, we pulled the trigger and did it.
And mobile, I guess, also means wireless or networked, right?
Absolutely. Wireless is key to our coverage area. We cover any type of mobile gadget and any type of technology that lets you become more mobile. So mobile wireless technologies like Wi-Fi, 3G cell phones, WiMAX, these kind of things are something we cover on a monthly basis.
And obviously the wireless space is exploding right now with so many new offerings from both the hardware and the software side. The telecoms competing to get into the space.
Yep.
Can you just give us from 40,000 square feet where you see the industry at this point and where it might be headed over the next 12 months?
Wireless industry, specifically?
Yes, please.
Yeah, wireless is, as you mentioned, it's exploding, and in a number of different areas. Right now, Wi-Fi, desktop, notebook-level wireless technology is still at a 50 to 100% growth rate every year. Right now, there's about 50,000 public Wi-Fi hotspots, that you see in Starbucks and the like. By the end of the year, there'll be 100,000. So that's huge. And then the other big thing on the horizon right now is 3G. It's cell phones, which are just now we're seeing the first pilot projects and the first citywide rollouts in cities like Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., where vendors are finally giving you true high-speed access over your cell phone, which lets you turn that device into something that's truly a networking machine and not just good for data call, voice calls.
And, of course, the magazine is looking to communicate what's going on to listeners on a monthly basis,
yeah.
And I imagine there's a lot of people who would like to get a story in your magazine because the industry is exploding.
Right, exactly.
So how do you sort the wheat from the chaff? How do you decide what warrants the feature story and what doesn't?
Well, we have to defer to our readers. Since we're an enthusiast consumer level magazine, we don't do a lot of stories about acquisitions and executive promotions and mergers and things like that. We look for the raw technology that's really going to drive the massive changes next year, 2 years, 3 years down the line. And we try to, you know, call it like it is. You know, is WiMAX really going to replace 3G or Wi-Fi as we know it? Maybe, maybe not. We try to get to the bottom of it because our readers know that these are confusing topics, and all that they get in the daily news is, the party line. So we try to, really find the what's the real nut of the story, and dig deep into that technology.
Now tell us basically, what is RSS? We hear so much discussion about it. What is it?
In a really simple way to put it, RSS is a way to automate the getting of news that you're interested in. So instead of having to refresh a web page say Yahoo News to find out what the new headlines are every hour, you can have those headlines automatically delivered to you. And then you're always on the first to know when something happens.
Now, seeing as how people are taking advantage of on-demand technology to consume media and entertainment in so many formats, and you are distributing a print publication, how does that play into the decisions that you make for editorial coverage?
I think we're not really any different than any other magazine. We're a monthly long lead publication. We have to try to guess where the market's headed and what's on the horizon. And at the same time, we do offer a daily website, mobilemagazine.com, RSS available there as well. I don't think we're really any different.
Great. Tell us about blogs. If you happen to notice that a company that you might be interested in covering has a significant amount of praise in the blogosphere, how does that impact your perception of that company?
That's huge. You know, we defer to the blog community for a lot of our story ideas, especially if we're going to do something online or if we're going to do a stark kind of news update in the front of the magazine. These guys have their fingers on the pulse of the industry in many more ways than we could do it, especially internationally, where we don't know what's happening in Japan, we don't know what's happening in London, even though we have correspondents. You know, they can't be everywhere at once. You know, the more play a story gets in the blog world, the more we want to be there.
But there seems to be a bit of a rift between the mainstream media and the blogosphere. Now, we saw some of the initial casualty reports on the tsunami coming out of the blogosphere from Southeast Asia. Certainly, people prepared to comment on breaking news quicker than the AP. Do you see the AP and the blogosphere ultimately running loggerheads?
Probably, but that's what's great about technology. You know, we get to see these kind of disruptive events and see what the see what the upstarts can do to compete with the big guys like AP. So yeah, it's something that's going to have to play out over the next couple of years. But eventually, much like most print magazines have done, we'll see more and more people start to embrace the blogs as a valid news source.
So let's talk for a minute just about communication channels, the phone, the fax, mail, email. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
I live and die on email, like most tech reporters. Dealing with the phone is just tricky because I'm not always at my desk, so email's always the way to get me.
Now, if you receive an email and the information is interesting to you, what's the next action you take?
I'll write back and say, send me more information, send me a press kit. Try to arrange a demo. Most of the time, the email pitches we get that are relevant to us are product pitches. So we'll ask for a sample for a review. Reviews are pretty much a lifeblood of our magazine, as with most tech magazines. So if a vendor has a valid, an interesting product that that's in our coverage area, we'll almost always request it for review in the mag.
Now, if you have a choice between a website or a hard press kit, what do you prefer?
A website's fine. But either one goes.
Now, if you go to the website, what do you hope to find in a company's online press room?
I need usually to have access to specs, product specs, product information, things as simple as how much does your product weigh, you know, and how much what are all of the relevant technical details about it. And then easy way to get a hold of you if you're not there, you're on vacation, somebody second in command that I can find. You know, I think we're just pretty much looking for the basics, but with all of the details, easy to find.
Now, beyond text, is there other type of data that might be of interest?
High-res images. If you have a product coming out in a couple of months, it doesn't necessarily have to be on your press room site, but if we can get the higher resolution image, the better, because then it's going to look better in our magazine.
And how do you identify those photos?
The bigger they are, the better. we just have to see them. My art guys look at them.
Now, do you ever watch streaming media online?
It's not usually something we use.
What about podcasting? Do you think podcasting has legs?
Hey, well, I'm here, right? we're huge into it. You know, the whole MP3 world is something that we're massively behind, and podcasting, I think, is a great extension of that.
With respect to, back to the blogosphere for a second, with respect to the dispute currently underway between Apple and the three bloggers who had posted trade secrets, and the fact that the judge didn't really decide on the grounds of whether or not a blogger is a journalist and whether or not a blogger should have the same rights to protect their sources as a mainstream journalist. Mm-hmm. I mean, which side do you fall on? Do you think bloggers should be able to protect their sources too?
I think anyone ought to be able to protect their sources, yeah. I mean, a journalist is somebody who says they're a journalist, you know, not somebody who has the weight of 100 lawyers behind him. Time Magazine can a lot easier afford to appeal endlessly a ruling like that, but the average guy in his garage who's just trying to put out what he thinks is cool news, he definitely ought to be provided that same benefits. I think a lot of us who started this industry as freelancers or as kind of upstart writers, we would have appreciated that kind of a commitment from the law when we got started.
Now, let's say, for example, that you were to keyword search an industry like mobile phones, and you were to use that keyword.
Mm-hmm.
How would the top 10 results color your perception of that industry?
Not a lot. It's not something that often comes up. I mean, I think we're already at the point where general information about mobile phones, for example, is well entrenched inside the magazine. So unless it becomes at that point, it becomes a very obscure terminology where you're looking for a very specific information about a very specific topic. And at that point, you usually only get 10 results. You don't get 10 out of 10,000. So, in that case, it's definitely, we'll start looking at the people who are at the top of the list first.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to On the Record Online with Eric Schwartzman, where reporters and journalists go on the record about how they use the web to cover the news. For the latest trends, tips, and tactics on how the web impacts corporate reputations, subscribe to our RSS news feed or visit us online at www.ipressroom.com.